RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Food Standards Australia and New Zealand for SANS has a consultation running to change the definition of what a genetically modified food is. Yes, you heard right. If it goes ahead, GM food may not need to be labelled as GM. Food Standards Australia and New Zealand for SANS website says, safe food for life. Food safety is our business. For SANS has set the standards for safe food in Australia and New Zealand for more than 25 years, ensuring consumers in both countries can be confident the food they buy is safe to eat. Their consultation closes on the 10th of September. And here are the points. Proposed changes to the Food Standards Code. Change the definition of what a genetically modified GM food is. And if it goes ahead, food will not have to be labelled as GM. So that's a pretty big deal. To talk about this on RCR this morning, Claire Bleakley, president of GE Free NZ, is back. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Paul. How are you? And thank you for having me on for this.
Anytime. And Jodie Brunning is back with us, lead researcher for Global Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility, PSGR. Hi, Jodie.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to finding out about this. Claire, first to you, because you are the president of GE Free NZ. What do you make of this?
Well, I'm actually gobsmacked. This, our members are highly concerned because it actually takes away their choice, but it is also affects the integrity of the food chain and the gene pool.
What's the most important of the two? Takes away choice?
But it doesn't just take away choice. It removes the ability to do safety tests for consumers to know what they're buying. It actually extends further because the seeds that will be grown will also be unable to be labeled as GMOs. And so organic systems will be threatened, and the new breeding techniques, they've changed the name, need to be regulated, and everything needs to be disclosed to the consumers.
Jodie, what do you make of it?
Well, they're looking at just saying it's a GMO if it's got a novel protein or a novel DNA in it. But if you look at the object of the Act, the legislation that they work under, their obligations as food standards is to ensure a high standard of public health protection. It's to have maintain consumer confidence. This is consumer confidence. They must be providing adequate information so that people can make informed choices. And yes, they must also have an effective, transparent and accountable regulatory framework, but they're focusing on the ease that which the biotech companies can move forward, and they're completely taking away informed choice. So I believe they're actually going against the objects of the legislation that they're working under.
Okay. Well, can they do that?
Well, they are. And what's really interesting is they're ignoring their own consultation. So their own consultation was very clear. They wrote, most consumers would not be confident in the safety of the new or emerging foods and food technologies measured if they became available for sale. So the very stuff that they want to deregulate, what they call new breeding technologies, NBTs, are what people don't really want to eat, but hey, they're going to disappear them, aren't they, Claire?
Well, they're not exactly. They are going to exempt them. And these foods have no history of safe use. As it has recognised, because we have the FSANS law, that GMOs have the ability to be risky to our dietary needs. So they've been governed by regulation, both nationally and internationally, and by removing or exempting them from regulation, they will reduce safeguards that they apply to the health and the consumer protection. Yes, I totally agree with you, Jodie. FSANS must require a register of all foods that is created from this new terminology, new breeding techniques, which actually means GE and gene editing, and require them to undergo rigorous long-term in vivo health trials before allowing them into the food chain.
Well, that could take years, couldn't it?
We have years and years and years of safe food that we've been eating. They have now endangered nature by adding risky technologies through man intervention, and they don't even need to be accountable or to test it. And we know that since soya was genetically modified and released into the food chain, allergies went up by 88% in the USA. Now, there seems to have to be a correlation to allergies to soy plus the unlabeled, ultra-processed GE soy that's going into the diet. We as consumers, we as producers have been hoodwinked. This is a very, very serious thing, and we do ask everybody to be mindful and to make their concerns heard by the 10th of September.
Right. To consultations.foodstandards.gov.au is the consultation hub. Is there anything in the timing between this now that we're talking about and what we were focusing on a couple of weeks ago and even before that with you, Claire, with you, Jody, and others, and Judith Collins, the deregulation of or taking GM out of the lab? Is this the next logical step? Because once you've got that, then you need to create the sales end for it, don't you?
I would say that Food Standards Australia New Zealand considers New Zealand as a little state. So I think Food Standards is doing exactly what Food Standards wants to do.
Okay, yeah.
I would like to just add that there is a highly permissive regime in the US, and if Australia does not loosen or, let's say, deregulate these GE products, then they become into contradiction to their free trade deal with the US. And because we have a free trade deal with Australia, that means any product that comes, as you know, our supermarkets, we've got this big thing about supermarkets at the moment. They are coming into the country from Australia. And if they don't have to be required to be labeled, then there is no cost. And I note that FSANS is saying, oh, it's going to be much better for industry. They're not going to have to bear the costs of that. Well, who is going to bear the costs of being sick? Is it going to be our health service, which is already collapsing? Is it going to be the individual? If we don't have labelling, then individuals cannot know what they're going to eat. And if they get sick, health professionals don't even have the diagnostic test. So they could be misdiagnosed or dangerously diagnosed for something as simple as an allergy to a GMO.
We don't have to do this, though, do we? We don't have to play ball with this if we don't want to, do we?
Yes, we do.
What?
Sorry. Well, it's interesting because I really would love to see some transparency in Food Standards Australia New Zealand in their consultations. So when I look back at the consultation responses, Food Standards refuses to disclose the percentage of the public that are saying, hey, we don't want you to declare these gene-edited products as, you know, it's the word substantial equivalence, Paul. You know, it's been used, generally regarded as safe. They're saying that if a novel protein, if there's novel DNA, it will be GMO. But if they're saying if it's got none of that, but it's got, you know, breaks or insertions or deletions, it happens in conventional food as well, so it's fine. So we'll just regard it as conventional foods. So I think the guys over here, I think if they're big business, their industry and their biotech developers, they're going to want this to be hidden. But if they are food exporters, particularly the seed exporters and the whole food exporters, they hopefully, if they're actually looking at the scientific literature, they're going to be understanding that the public will pay a premium for GMO-free.
Yeah.
And that discussion is completely out of food standards remit. They're ignoring that people will pay a premium because we are so pure food, good quality food has been a preoccupation of humans since we started.
But they're not, obviously they're not interested in that.
They're really obsessed with the conventional food equivalents claim. And we saw this in this week's webinar with food standards. And the conventional food substantial equivalence claim has nothing to do with the speed and pace at which this stuff can be rolled out, the speed and pace with which new technologies are being developed. Because what happens is the biotech labs are incentivized because the capacity to patent and get a royalty, the IP controls are so much stronger than with conventional food. So there's a far greater incentive to move this out along the chain, get it onto the market than with conventional food, it doesn't quite have the same IPs. You know, it's weaker to assert IP. So this is incentive and Food Standards Australia and New Zealand have completely ignored all of this incentivization and the tsunami, the mammoth GMO development that's going on in comparison to.
How could they ignore that?
And I just, they can't ignore it. But as Jody brought out, the really, really important point is these patents. The drive for patents threatens to increase the costs to farmers and consumers. The seed and the food then becomes a rented property as farmers will be totally ruled by that. Industry, to get a patent, you have to have an industrial purpose. So this industrial purpose often is for ease of manufacture, like the oils change so they won't gum up the rollers or something like that. But also they can withstand pesticides. So even though Fasans looks at the technically a very, very, very narrow area, which is new DNA is what they're saying and they're changing to, they're actually totally ignoring the level of pesticides that are in these foods, and they can cause severe harm, and it is known, and that's why we have MRLs, residue levels that are given to us. They're actually ignoring all of that. And as Jody said, we are not able to get Fasans to understand us as the consumer or as the submitter. Industry has a direct line to them. And you talked about, has this got a correlation? I believe from my contacts from around the world, this is a global push and it's lock, stop and stock and barrel. They cannot do the safety studies because they've found that the safety is different. So what they want to do is totally deregulate it and have carte blanche. And what will happen is we eat something that is dicey. We don't know what it is, but it is a GMO, but we don't have any ability to pinpoint that, so it starts to harm the whole of society through the diet. And actually, our ministerial forum does actually state that they need to have clear labeling and they need to have consumer choice so that they can support their dietary health.
Can I just see if I got this right?
Yes.
And sort of like boil it down just for me and maybe
yes,
a few
certainly.
Others.
Yep.
Okay. So. So they review the standards code, and you mentioned equivalence, Jody. So they're saying that their equivalents with things that happen in nature. It's just done a different way, is it seems to me what you were saying. So therefore, that negates having to kind of go into the whole gene editing and explanations about that, and also gets around then the matter of clearly labeled choice, because the assumption is, well, you're choosing the same thing in the end, according to us anyway, so no point going there, which then opens the door not only to an accelerated rate of patent collection, let's say, but also it leapfrogs over the issue of safety and no testing history. Have I got that right? Is that what that means?
There is no history of safe use of these products. And so what is also happening, Paul, is it's up to the corporations to declare whether there is the novel protein or
which
the
they will minimize. The incentive is to minimize. I mean, that's what I'd do.
There is a problem. There is a perverse incentive. And, you know, food standards seem to have a budget to go and review. They don't even, you know, do a methodological literature review.
Do we know who funds them substantially? Is it like
industry applicants.
There we go.
Claire was talking about the herbicide tolerant crops, because those herbicide tolerant crops are the bulk of what's been released onto the market. Yet, Cassandra's is hypothesizing, and I've written this in a Spectator article that came out today, that there'll be wide benefit from more sustainable food production, climate change resilience and mitigation, and cheaper food. But this bears no resemblance to the traits that have been commercialized today. So they're seeking to manufacture consent by saying it's going to make it more sustainable.
They always say that.
Climate change.
It's always the sell.
Exactly. And so this is just the hypocrisy that is coming out of Fasans that is unsubstantiated is remarkable.
But also they have actually said that all foods that are exempted will be monitored by the Ministry for Primary Industries. They don't even have the tools or the money to even look today at seeing what levels of GMOs are actually contaminating our food supply. What we do know and what we're very pleased to say is both Foodstuffs and Countdown Woolworths have actually stated on their website that their brands are GMO-free.
Okay.
And they actually get documentation to show that.
They wouldn't say that if they didn't think their customers wanted to hear it.
I quite agree. So what we've got to do is we've got to be able to preserve that right, and our supermarkets need to be able to uphold that right for their consumers, because if they don't, they will be letting us down in the same way that food standards will. But we might be able to sue the supermarkets if those labels aren't proper.
Right.
Fasans will get away with it. So in a way, they're socializing the cost and they're pushing it onto industry. And I think industry needs to wake up and actually realize that they will be in the firing line.
The other thing is, it's interesting because just in the last few weeks with RFK Jr., I know it's a long way offshore, but this whole, you know, food chain health consciousness is on the rise. This is a silly time to try and sell this, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's particularly because you've got that consumers are willing to pay for non-GM. There's a price premium, and you know this work is in the literature. It's very clear. We're talking about the Chinese, the Japanese, the Vietnamese, the French, Americans, Europeans. They all actually would prefer GMO-free food. So Fasans turning around and saying, "Well, we're actually going to not disclose it," absolutely, you know, contradicts their obligations in law. And they're not actually disclosing this scientific literature in their reviews. So when the industry's submitters that, for example, might be really wanting clean, you know, the best quality food they possibly can have, they actually are not learning how solid this information is in the scientific literature. But as I said before, and I'm going to reiterate, their own consumer survey told them that
that most people see these new NBTs, these gene-edited organisms, as a continuum of GMOs, which they are. Yeah. People are correct. People are concerned about long-term effects, and they would prefer not to buy this food. So our primary producers cannot be it's so hard for the average farmer to actually get a handle on this because they've got to be welders and vets and accountants. But it's apples and pears, it's beef and lamb. You know, these guys really need to actually speak up. They need to pop their head above the parapet and have a really good look at what Fasans is doing and how Fasans is mangling. They're getting rid of the second part of risk assessment, which is to understand how something goes into the environment. They're pretending that they can only consider the equivalence with conventional food at a cellular level, but they're not looking at the scalability impact, which is a critical core component of risk assessment. So I you know, Fasans has lost its way, basically.
Right. Okay.
One thing that concerns me is that all the submissions that go from us to Fasans are sent directly to the applicant, and the applicant makes comment. And very often, Fasans just regurgitates their saying. And so we have presented published material where they have released their own unpublished, paid-for work. We've released published material, and you can go onto their website, and all they've done is vilified and denied that these studies were of any good at all, to the extent that they actually came out and said they did a study on a rabbit who produced a whole lot of orange or red urine and things went really wrong. And they said, rabbits aren't the best animal to do food testing on. That's how they minimize anything here. So every other study that I have been aware of in my research relies on the safety of, if it's safe for animals, it's safe to go ahead. GMOs, through Fasans, they're saying, because it's unsafe for animals, we're going to ignore that because it doesn't relate to humans, but we're not going to allow human testing.
Because we're not rabbits. Okay, yeah.
That's right. So they're actually, what they're saying is we don't like the results we're getting on animals. So we just want to ignore it, and we want to exempt it and remove that terrible, terrible need to have everybody keep asking us for these tests.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sending submissions to industry is a bit of a, I don't know if that is a very good thing. it's kind of giving away people's, IP in a way. If you could think of it like that. We're up against time. Any last words to say about this?
Johnny? Well, remember, these corporations are having their cake. They're patenting a product that is a royalty, and they're eating it too. It's not going to be declared.
They're probably not eating it.
When it's not declared, it's excluded from pre-market assessment. So Fasans doesn't have to assess it. Please, even the simplest. You know, there was a big chance that Fasans will fail to declare the weight of public opinion like they did in 2018, like they did in 2021. But we still need to keep going.
Okay.
Can I say our website, www.gfree.org.nz, we have a template with our concern.
Oh, yep.
And we are asking people to click on the action alert that we have at the top of our website. It's now in the center, and go to the template and have a look. Make it in your own words, but there are links to the actual submission if you want to make a deeper one. But what we're saying is it is really, really important that we have a voice in this. And also to remember that at the end of the staff evaluation, which ignored the round one staff of our consumers, of our submissions, it goes to a ministerial council. Now, those ministers are the ones who eventually tick it off. We have to be aware that we can also write to our own ministers to say, please listen to us.
Will Judith be on that one? Probably.
MDI is much more
important. Andrew Hoggard is the food safety minister.
All right, so.
And he did a very good thing by withdrawing us from the, we're very happy that he withdrew us from the labeling of the milk, the baby's milk. So he is actually got, he does seem to have more grunt than any other. It never has been challenged before, except Sue Kedgley did it in her time.
Yep.
And they kind of massaged it around her concerns. But he actually withdrew us, and we're actually saying this Aotearoa needs to have its own voice in this.
Yep.
Okay. In how our food is done.
All right. I want to thank you, Claire, President Free NZ, for coming on again. Jody, as always, thank you.
Pleasure.
And the deadline is the 10th.
The 10th of September.
Homework on the weekend, guys.
Yes, and we're really, really pleased because we did write to the Labor Minister of Food Safety, Rachel Brooking, and she has said due to the time constraint, she has written directly to Minister Hoggard to ask for an extension due to the incredible amount of documents that the consumer and the submitters have been given.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.